It's a little late to get into it now, but there's a Reddit GIFs Jim Henson exchange.
How could you not like Fraggle Rock? It was so awesome.
I love the uncle.
My second, not my last trip, but the previous trip to Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian had a Jim Henson exhibit.
And they had Gobo.
It's really more later years.
And it was
I
forgot to turn off the flash on my camera.
Yeah, and you didn't get it.
And the guard jumped my ass.
That's
awesome.
But it had like Jim Henson's early works, like his coffee commercial stuff.
Yeah.
Ironing spray.
Jim Henson Studios has a special place in my childhood.
That's why the first two Ninja Turtle movies are awesome and the third one sucks.
Yeah. Jim Henson has a special place in my heart because it's my last name.
Oh.
Not to mention Dark Crystal.
You have a last name.
I have a last name. I kind of forget we all have last names except for Gomer because his last name.
So I'm Larry. This is episode 26 of Geeks of the Square Table. I hit record on y'all.
My favorite episode of Fraggle Rock was the one where they're like, "Oh, we have to let Gromer. The doozers."
That's what we have started.
We have to let the doozers build. We can't. Right. We got to stop eating their stuff, and they let it, and it just takes over.
Yeah.
It's Gomer,
David,
Taylor,
Jules.
All right.
Larry, you abuse the whole starting privileges. You always like do it when we're not expecting it.
We were having such great conversation. I wanted to catch that. And y'all all refused to say, or mention about singing the Fraggle Rock theme song. So.
Dance cares away. Worry for another day. Let the music play. Down at Fraggle Rock.
But then
the doozers sing, "Work your cares away."
Oh, the doozers.
And they're working.
Dancing.
Love that.
The little sugar cane crap.
Yeah, and then, but the Fraggles would eat it. And one episode I was talking about, like, one of the Fraggles was like, "No, we can't, we gotta stop eating all their
they
work."
They were protesting,
yeah. And they were like,
"Right, that would have been Red."
Most likely, that would have been Mookie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was Red that was protesting.
But then it was Mookie.
Mookie was the one that always seemed to be the sensible one.
Yes.
Yeah. But then the doozer
construction,
the doozer construction just takes over the whole, you know, Fraggle Rock, you know, thing.
So,
and the doozers have to leave, and then like,
oh no,
and they have this awesome feast, and they're all like fat at the end of it from eating this. But that show, every once in a while, you just see them walk by this construction where this little doozer was working, grab and just eat it.
Yeah,
and it was like, man, you jerk.
Because
and it was a really cool episode for them to address
that. The materials they used for the construction of the doozer structures was radishes.
Yes.
Was like a processed radish.
Yeah, well, and the guy, like the dude with the dog who lived up, his whole spiel was he like was a radish farmer or whatever, right?
And they would always go to the
Have like a repair shop or something?
Yeah, like he was on like a gourd. I know radishes were involved.
What were the big ones called? The gourds?
Oh yeah.
The other world that they bothered.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
They wanted to eat Fraggles. So awkward segue.
Yeah, we need the awkward segue because
anyone else enjoy Cosmos? No idea.
Well, apparently, I'm like usually there's always like one odd man out. Yeah. People start talking about stuff. The one guy who doesn't like what everybody else is talking about. This week, it's me. I'm not
Fraggle
really,
Rock.
Not
Did you watch Cosmos?
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Cosmos.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Let's talk about Cosmos. Let's get away from Fraggle Rock for Taylor's sake.
All right.
And let's talk about Neil deGrasse Tyson's Cosmos because while we all remember Carl Sagan's Cosmos, we'll always hold
still
a near...
Still available on YouTube if you don't remember them.
Still a near, worth dear watching. Place in my heart. But this was a very different Cosmos. And a lot of production value. It was not Carl Sagan talking in front of pictures.
Yes.
Like I halfway expected it to be. And it was on Fox.
Yeah.
It was not on
Seth MacFarlane was the producer, which surprised me when I saw it going by. Well, like, I didn't expect that from him. But
see, apparently,
Sagan's widow was involved in the production, too.
Yes. I caught a lot of things about the production I'd love to get to.
But, Larry?
When you say, I'm going to put a scientific show by Seth MacFarlane.
Yes.
Well, maker of Family Guy and Ted.
There wasn't a talking animal in the whole show.
Peter Griffin's going to come up and say, "This is the son."
Yeah. But, well, it was an animated animal at one point.
There was one episode of Family Guy, I think, where they were talking about like it was like Cosmos for hillbillies.
Yes.
The world was created hundreds and hundreds of years ago by God.
Yes. But as it turns out, I did some researching, and Seth MacFarlane, not only being a big Cosmos fan, is a huge Neil deGrasse Tyson fan.
Yes. Who isn't a huge Neil deGrasse
Tyson? He's awesome.
I've never
he's
met
awesome.
Anyone who isn't.
Let's take a few minutes away from talking about Cosmos just to gush about how awesome Neil deGrasse Tyson is.
He's a wonderful, because you know what?
His passion comes through. Neil, if you hear that, through. Taylor, he likes science and long walks in the beach. He has a little bit of a man crush on
him. I got a man crush on Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit it either. He's
Bill
awesome.
The science
what is
Bendez like,
going to say?
They like America's kooky science.
Anyone else enjoy
the formerly taken by Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard, yes. if anybody remembers that back in the day. And the great Carl Sagan.
Bill Nye went away for a while, but now he's back. Yes. And he's kind of sharing it with a...
Yes. Well, you know, and it's kind of a bittersweet thing. I don't know if anybody knew, but Bill Nye was trying to do Cosmos before Tyson.
Yeah.
Bill Nye wanted to be on Cosmos. Tyson did not, actually.
Yeah.
And had to convince himself to
Seth
be on
Seth MacFarlane had to convince him. No, I need you to do this. He has the passion. And not that Bill Nye doesn't have the passion.
Bill Nye has...
Sometimes Bill Nye gets carried away.
Yes. And Bill Nye has
a
rocky
do,
streak
excited.
With
yes.
other people.
Yeah.
Tyson does not.
Yes.
Tyson is I can agree to disagree kind of guy, and Bill Nye is not. Yeah.
But
we all know.
I'm almost... tempted to actually make a Twitter account for myself just so that I can follow Tyson, because apparently he like leaves all these like science tidbits
yes.
every now and then.
Oh,
like things
genius.
Like how in the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer it's
oh,
a shiny
I saw
mode,
that
meaning that it reflects light sight. Instead of emits light, so it's completely useless for navigating fog.
Love it. Yes. Yes. But, that was awesome. But yeah. Oh yes, so Seth MacFarlane, when
executive
talking with
producer.
Fox renegotiating his contract for the Sunday night lineup, he said, if you want me to continue to produce yes. Family Guy, American Dad, and The Cleveland
and
Show...
he's got plenty of money
yes.
from Family Guy. He's still eight times a day on five different channels.
If you want your Sunday night
yes,
lineup
said,
to continue...
To, yes. He said, if you want me to continue to do the Sunday night lineup, you have to put Cosmos at the end of my Sunday night lineup.
I guess it's all him, except for The Simpsons now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But good for him, using
yeah.
his power
exactly.
for good.
Exactly,
using yeah. his power for good.
Yes, and he said, you know what?
Yeah.
You want more Family Guy?
Yeah.
You want more American Dad? You want more Fuzzy Door Productions? Cosmos.
Another
is now
another thing
Sunday
I wanted
Night
to
Live.
Say about the production. A few things actually. One of the animators, producers of the animation, which the animation in Cosmos was spectacular.
Awesome.
The
it
Bruno
was.
Stuff
it was wonderful.
I was very surprised
yeah.
by the
and it's supposed to
the
be
quality.
Every episode
yeah, yeah.
is going to have an animated segment
yeah.
like that.
Are they all going to be about scientists past?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah,
it's supposed
yeah.
to be.
But
yeah.
the executive producer, the producer of the animation, also worked with MacFarlane on a lot of his stuff. Worked
yes.
on Johnny Bravo back
yes.
in
yes.
the day. But is also working on the World of Warcraft movie, and if anyone knows anything about how Blizzard treats their animation, they don't allow anything but the best. So mm-hmm. it's in great hands. Another name, Brandon Braga, from Star Trek fame, actually started as an intern on TNG and changed
yes.
the direction of the show forever in a positive direction. Is also executive producer of the show and a director of the first episode, which comes out all over the place as Neil is flying through space and time in his spaceship. You can really see the influence.
You can really see
yeah.
the Star Trek influence.
The music, which is a huge part of getting the emotion of the show across, all composed by Alan Silvestri, Back to the Future trilogy, Oscar nominated for Forrest Gump,
mm-hmm.
also did Marvel's The Avengers,
Avengers,
and is doing Captain America Winter Soldier. So there's a lot of geek threads that combine here to make the show.
And it was gorgeous.
It was amazing.
It was.
Every
was
part of it was beautiful.
Not
yeah.
just like the spectacle aspect of it, but also like the way that they went about explaining things,
yes.
the way that they
yes.
like the metaphors they
the
used.
Calendar
the calendar was
genius.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Genius way to
the,
explain
the,
everything.
Like we're like all of human existence is what did he say? The la-
15,
within the last second.
15
like,
seconds.
15
yeah.
seconds
yeah.
of the calendar year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it with people who've never watched Cosmos before. My girlfriend and a couple of other residents who live in the building I work in. And they were just enthralled in the spectacle that was and how just informative and made simple
yeah.
for them that they enjoyed it and said, we're all going to watch it again now.
Well, man, if,
that's awesome.
If you're going to take an informative program and bring it to mainstream prime time, or I guess this isn't really prime time, but still,
just after. Just
yeah.
after,
you
yeah.
know,
still a big network,
yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
exposure.
Exactly.
You're
going to
have
lots
to put, a, put some show into it, and
yeah.
that's going to be a dangerous line that they're going to run. When are ratings going to slip and they're going to go, well, we got to get them a little more show. It's going to be have something they're always going to have to be mindful of.
But isn't it
of.
Also a, like a limited series, too?
I think it's limited on Fox.
Yeah.
But then it'll probably have a lot of success on Nat Geo and after, you know,
now,
market
it,
watching
like
that.
If it
like
makes
that.
Money,
yeah,
Fox will keep doing
yeah.
it.
Especially on Sunday night at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it going up against?
Nothing.
the news, like Conan reruns.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So really, there's nothing else to watch. Yeah. So it's,
well, did you guys talk about the number of viewers it had?
It had a lot of
you've
viewers.
Been sitting here this whole time. I did you not already know the
feedback? Well, I walked away for
I got
a moment.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was
right here.
Well, yeah, what about the viewers?
That's an awesome shirt, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. That's a great shirt.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane tweeted that they got like 17.5 million viewers.
In the most US of them, alone. And most of them were the prime dynamic, the 18
was that
to 30
just the
that
people watching
for.
It on TV? Because yeah. I watched it on Hulu.
Yeah, me too.
Day, so I didn't.
Well, I watched both.
I watched it
twice.
I watched it live
and
then
on
Hulu.
Yeah, I had to watch it twice.
Now, I don't have that yet.
And of course, it airs. Its biggest competition probably is Talking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But come on.
To be honest. But
I watched Walking Dead, and then I watched.
But I don't think the show is saying that, you know, we're not here to really compete technically with other shows. We're just here to be. Because it's the kind of show that is going to find its own niche. But if it can attract new viewers, all more power to them, you know. But I think, like you said, like it's going to be a limited run on Fox, and then it's going to be like on your usual science channels that aren't talking about, you know.
Well, I mean, and here's
Hitler's
what,
gold
now,
and that shit.
The traditional Steve MacFarlane.
Presently, what the science history channel
you know,
is.
Well,
anyway.
I know. You know, a lot of us like that kind of stuff, but yeah.
Hitler's gold or Cosmos?
Hitler's gold, ancient aliens.
Well, yeah. You know,
aliens.
Is the average John Q. fanboy of? Family Guy and The Simpsons.
Yes.
Is this going to appeal to them, you think?
I'm not sure if it'll appeal to them. Maybe they'll...
Anyone who's a fan of Brian.
Maybe they'll hit their bone.
My dad hit on. But he's like, yeah. If you like Brian, who is just Seth MacFarlane, and what he talks about most of the time.
Viewers. Yeah, 8.5 million local. Yeah. Or maybe...
No, that's what
domestic.
For the premiere was 8.5 million.
Domestic.
Well, what's the 17.5 million? Is
that might
the DVR
be
DVRs
worldwide,
or something?
Yeah.
That's everything, but it's 8.5 million on Fox.
But it's a great show. The part where Neil was talking about the multiverse, I mean, it made me feel really small. Like, gave me goosebumps. Yeah, that chilled me to the core. But then he's talking about
the whole universe.
But then he's talking about, you know, Voyager and that stuff and how far we have come. When he flies by Mars and it's like a shot from the rover, it makes you feel, man, look how awesome we really are. It's just, ran the gambit of emotions for me.
He did an interview on the Colbert Report talking about, like, Colbert asked him, so why now? It's been 30 whatever years since the original came on. It's like, look at all the progress we've made even just since then. Oh. You know, dark energy.
I was saying earlier, we've discovered more planets in the past, 10 times more planets in the past 5 years than we did in the past 2,000 before that.
Geeked so hard, my girlfriend had to laugh because I made a loud, screechy noise. 2 weeks ago, I was reading the article about rogue planets. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Really interesting thing for me. A week later, Hickman put it in an Avenger comic book.
Yeah.
And then a week after that, Cosmos talks about rogue planets. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Man, rogue planets are just everywhere.
So, they're everywhere.
Period.
That's so cool.
What? Period, it's only supposed to be 8 weeks.
And I think the plan right now is that only 8 weeks.
Fox is projecting global wide will be over 40 million.
Wow. An episode.
No, for the first episode.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's cool news.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it being a limited series.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm good with that, too, because I think it'll go into more. It won't be able to stop.
Yeah,
once it gets its momentum, you're not going to be able to stop it. It'll become a web show. A PBS might even pick it up, you know?
And that's weird watching it with commercials.
It was really weird watching it with commercials.
Anything that makes money, Fox will go, sure, let's do it again. They will beat it. Into the ground.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyone else?
So even if they do it in eight episode runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if
this may become a regular summer show.
But if it sucks, they'll cancel it after seven episodes.
It won't even make it to its mid-season finale.
Not even if it sucks, but if it doesn't make money.
Yeah.
Fox
doesn't
care about the actual. As we've seen time and time again, a lot of these big networks do not care about the actual quality.
I meant corporate quality. Corporate quality.
But I think the good. Bellwether would probably be the second episode.
Oh, agreed.
How the second episode goes will probably determine how the rest of the series runs.
Yeah.
And I also felt it was weird right after the animated feature about Giordano Bruno.
Yeah.
The first commercial was Noah. Yeah. Anyone else get like a weird vibe?
Yeah,
I was like, didn't that feel a little forced? I'm just going to call it out as that was one Cosmos with commercials was already weird.
I think that could have been just the local station running this commercial too.
It could have been.
I think the most noteworthy thing about that Noah movie is how it's having to defend itself from both sides of the conversation about that whole thing.
I don't care about any
controversial
aspects.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm just wondering how they're going to stretch that out into a movie.
2 hours, yeah.
I mean, especially considering that if they're going
and
the way the Bible story is.
The disaster.
90% of them is them sitting on
Darren
a boat.
40
to,
yeah. I'm on a boat!
I just want someone to explain to me how the guy who directed The Wrestler, Black Swan, Pie.
It's something he's interested
in. Darren Aronofsky?
Something he's interested in.
An action movie?
Yeah.
Not only that, biblical action.
We were talking
movie?
About this with our Oscar talk last week.
Yeah.
A lot of these directors,
you
they make.
There's like 15 biblical films coming out in 2000.
These directors, they make the movies that they want to make, the artistic movies that win awards, and they make the movies that'll make them some goddamn money so that they can get to make those movies they want to make.
Enough,
I don't know if this is going to make goddamn money, but it's probably going to make more
Russell
money than Black Swan.
Do you think Noah will make goddamn money or just damn money?
Okay, well, if we're getting philosophical
it's
about
literally.
This, who can damn people if not God?
So and he does it in the movie!
God,
yeah, that's
take
the whole
goddamn
point of the movie.
And get it kind of a tautology, because who else can damn people?
Boom! Absolutely right.
You're essentially saying the same thing either way.
But I'm fascinated
Will it just make regular money or will it be damned money?
I'm fascinated by the aspect of Noah where both sides of that coin, you know, that argument are like griping about the movie, you know, like about population growth, and it's just a weird aspect of the movie. And like you said, there's like 10, 15 movies, biblical based movies coming out. I think we're going to see more and more of that. I think that's a good thing.
The blurb about them having trouble with the Son of God movie, the guy who plays Satan looks a lot like Obama.
Oh, really?
I haven't heard that. But didn't they have that back when like the History Channel was running a biblical series, too?
It's the same. It's the same. Mostly
and
the
Game
same
of
cast.
Thrones had George Bush's head on a pike at one point. Yeah.
That was subtle.
But that was something that wasn't revealed until like after the DVDs
come out. But I'm not sure if any producers
are doing that sort of thing
on purpose. And if they are, they're not doing it to slight the person they're doing. They're doing it to build buzz about their product.
Conspiracy theory about it. This does see the type of people who would make a movie of like major production about the life of Jesus Christ also seem like the type of people who would hate Obama.
Yeah, the right wing thing. But I don't want to apply that.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't prove it, so I feel bad saying.
And I don't want to apply it to them.
This was legitimate. There was people who were protesting because.
Yes.
That looks too much like Obama to play Satan.
Weird.
And really, it just seems like a crazy thing to protest.
Yes.
But
the funniest thing to me about the whole thing is it's produced by Mark Burnett. The king of reality TV is going to do something that most people that watch reality TV think is a fact of fiction.
Well, it's the fact, just this is a hot subject. It's proven that you can make these movies and make money.
Yes.
Whether the money
there was an article in Entertainment Weekly this week about how biblical movies make tons of money. Ben-Hur made like...
Passion.
I think it was like 480 million.
Just the miniseries they had on a year or so ago on the History Channel.
At,
that had record ratings.
Yo, look at... Ten Commandments made Charlton Heston's
career. I'm just talking
about...
Exactly. I was just talking about movies in... In this century.
And Jim Caviezel, would you even know who he was if it wasn't for Passion?
I don't,
he was the guy.
Has he done anything since then?
He's on Person of Interest.
Okay. Yeah, he's the main character on Person of Interest.
I don't watch
it.
It's a pretty solid show.
Frequency.
When they first announced it, it's like Ben from Lost and Jesus Christ beat up bad guys.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm on board.
That's what I thought it was. And I was like, man, I miss Lost too much.
Anyone else feel that like the Malaysia airline going missing is just a sequel to Lost?
I was hoping we weren't going to touch on that when I mentioned Lost. As soon as I heard Lost mentioned, I was like, man, we're going to get to that Malaysia thing. And those are like the jokes going around. I'm like, man, I don't know if we should be joking.
It's almost too eerily similar.
Yeah.
To the fact that it's just missing.
And the things they're talking about, the people on there, like some of the people on there were like seeking asylum for. And it's like, man, these are really interesting characters. Stop thinking that. Stop. No.
Yeah, the guys that use the stolen passport, pay cash for the ticket.
Yeah, it's my goodness. That was what's his name?
Yeah. This fall on Fox, Lost again.
Yeah.
So the, like,
sorry.
That plane disappeared, or
they have no idea. They can't find any evidence of it being gone.
They were talking about it like on Coast to Coast AM.
You just
want to
come sit over here, dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the ghost in the back is Steven.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, you don't have to shout across the room. You're welcome to come over.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to shout.
It is a mystery.
Yes, as it just,
it's really weird. It's really weird.
But they were like, saying, like,
we do actually catch him over there. His voice carries.
Oh, okay. That's what I was worried about.
But they, but like, last night on Coast to Coast AM, they actually dedicated, like, their very first hour to this.
Wow.
And they had, like, an expert. They had, like, an investigator that was involved with, like, TWA, what, 80?
Yeah.
He was talking about. Probably the truth is that the Malaysian Air Force Minister Chief came out and said that the plane turned around for 300 miles, and then he come back out and said, no, that's not the case. He said that right there is probably the truth, because somebody got involved, the U.S. or someone got involved and said, you need to come back and change your story.
I don't want to get into the conspiracy of it.
Well, right.
And that's all Coast to Coast is anymore.
Here's what I'm saying.
Coast to Coast used to be fun.
Back when it was our
battle. The date on a dime on the ground in Soviet Russia. You can't tell me that there is some place where you're flying on the surface of the earth that they can't track you.
Well, they said that
the satellites aren't watching every square inch of the planet at the same time. You have to tell it to look at something.
But they can't get radar out into some of these middle of the ocean places, especially in these lesser developed
Civilian
places.
Radar, but they're saying, like, military radar can do that.
Well, here's another thing this morning.
It's got to be turned on at the time.
That the pictures of the Iranians that supposedly got on board with stolen passports, they're photoshopped.
Yeah. Huh.
So they don't even know if these two people who are being claimed as Iranians, A, are real people, or B, if they're really Iranians, and C, if they even really got on the plane.
Well, supposedly they interviewed one of their mothers. I guess I can't prove that it is actually their mother.
Yeah, exactly. No one can, though, at this point.
Yeah,
there's so many questions. Yeah, there's no answers.
There's so many random news events where
publicity stunt for Lost 2.
telling you, I'm with my
preach. The fact that what Fox or ABC has a new the 100, and this is the promo for that. It's not.
Yeah.
But why? They fall out of the sky.
But that's a terrible way to bring about that kind of thing. Is to have a whole airplane go missing.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, it's not above Fox.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just weird.
But it's just weird.
Like, just
it's
like
a fun current event that we think we're so awesome in our world of technology, and we can track people with satellites, and we lost an entire freaking plane. We have no idea where it is.
Well, we started the podcast talking about how far we've come, but there's sometimes we still can't beat nature.
We want a satellite looking at it.
I'm just
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, all the places we have satellites looking, what goes on in Malaysia we want to look at.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, with radar and everything, and being able to communicate from a plane thousands of miles from a coastline, you know, it's...
Imagine.
That's awesome, but it doesn't even work.
Like,
yeah.
But they don't even they're not even picking up like any pings from the black box.
No it's really a mystery. It's really an Art Bell back in the day sort of mystery, man.
This
Malachi
is,
Martin, freaking Michio Kaku before anybody knew who he was.
Yep.
Those sort of discussions, and just
all things you can find
George
in
Norrie
the
just
Twilight Zone.
Wow. We don't really
felt like that moment when you heard about it. I was like, am I in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, dude.
What plane
just
goes missing?
It's weird, man.
That's like some Bermuda Triangle just
it's
out
weird.
Of nowhere.
Close Encounters, man. We're going to find the airplane in the middle of the Gobi Desert.
Well, none of us really have answers for this sort of thing.
Of course
maybe
not.
We should just move on.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about, but let's move on.
I think somebody out there knows what happens. Whether the public at large will know, who knows?
You know, I want to believe.
X-Files.
Every time.
As close as I get.
That was very was not close. Very close.
You knew what it was, though. Go ahead.
I only knew what it was because
I mentioned X-Files.
I just said I want to believe.
If you had just done that randomly,
really
I'd be like, what the fuck was
I really think if aliens were to ever make contact with the Earth, it would be about 50 years before the public found out about it. The government would come out one day, about 50 years ago, we were talking to these guys. They landed. We kind of keep it quiet. Wanted to let you know they've been here for a while.
Yeah.
They're okay.
I don't know why aliens.
That's what I think is silly about shows like UFO Chaser show.
Transformers 3?
That show
was that the plot in Transformers 3? They've been in contact for 50 years.
Like shows are like they're trying to like hunt down Bigfoot or something. It's like what's the point of watching? Because you know they're not gonna succeed.
Or we'd have heard about it.
Yeah, there's no way they would have been able to keep this under wraps long enough for them to air this episode and it be the big reveal.
There's two likely options as far as ETs visiting Earth. Either there's way too much distance between our planets for them to get here, or they went by Sauce and said, just like I would drive by a shitty Waffle House and say, no, I'm going to the next
exit.
It's
like, that's the thing.
On the highway.
Star Trek.
We'll eat somewhere
the
else.
Yeah, yeah.
The Vulcans were going like, nope, they're not worth it.
They
see the one guy do warp,
until,
like, okay.
Yeah,
now they're getting in my neighborhood.
Exactly.
Yeah,
The Vulcans only come here when they're like, oh, that dude can go faster than us. We better check them out. Yeah. Well, the only reason the Vulcans were able to do that.
They broke light speed.
Yeah, well, the Vulcans hadn't yet. They were able to travel space because they were so old.
They had broke light speed.
It depends on which part of it you're reading.
If you go back to the original Gene Roddenberry, the Vulcans had not broken the light speed.
Yes. As far as
Zephyr
the new
Cochran
ones, they changed that.
Was the first person to achieve warp capability.
Yeah, and that's the only reason the Vulcans were able to do that is because they lived so old.
Yeah.
You know, they lived such a great age, so they are able to go all over in their standard ships.
400?
Generation ships.
Yeah. So, generation ships, that sort of thing. So when they saw, they're like, oh, man, some warp technology. We could use that. That's why they stopped it. They stopped it in our shop.
This was also the reasons why the Romulans were not as big of a threat as the Klingons in the original series.
Yes.
Because Romulans did not have warp speed.
Yeah.
No, but they did have
disruptors.
Technology.
The cloak and disruptors. And they traded.
No, they didn't have disruptors.
Well, they traded.
They traded.
With
Klingons.
The Klingons'
cloak
for disruptor. That's right.
That's
right.
Where the Klingons
get
there.
Of course, why would Klingons want a cloak? I don't get it.
That was like their whole shtick in the Next Generation, though, was they would always cloak.
Yeah.
Of all of the races, they were the least technologically advanced race.
And the Romulans,
and they found themselves inadequate during the space age, so they took the cloaks to give them the next step in battle.
And the Romulans...
Well, the reasons they got shut out was the Gorn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the Gorn hit the Romulans, and the Gorn isolated the Romulans down to just a few systems.
Yeah.
But the Gorns wouldn't go in and isolate them down to one system
because
the Gorn had done that before, and that planet's sun went nova, and they accidentally wiped out an
entire
species.
Yeah.
Classic Gorn.
Classic Gorn.
Did they make any appearances in any of the new series?
They made an appearance in the Enterprise.
Enterprise.
It was like an alternate dimension or something?
Yeah.
The mirror dimension?
Why even bring that up, though?
Mirror Dimension.
That's the only time
it never happened.
I love Mirror Dimension, but
Enterprise
never happened, guys. I'm sorry. It's just a pipe dream. We thought it was going to be great, and it was awful.
It's one of the quantum leaps.
It was a quantum leap.
I'm not as down
that's
on
all
it
I think.
Those people are. Right, man. I actually enjoyed it.
I did not.
Some,
I was promised Pike
long,
and I got Archer.
You got a hot Vulcan. That's really
you
all
did,
I
you
wanted.
Got a, oh, yeah.
That's all they promised,
hot.
And they
it was
delivered.
One of those things where it got really good after everybody stopped watching. You know, they're like, well, we're canceled anyway. Let's do whatever the hell we want.
That's true. That's true.
The only
they
other thing I can think of where the Gorn made an appearance was in the Star Trek game that was tied into Darkness. The Gorn were the primary enemy of that.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than old battle music.
That was a great episode of the original Star Trek, though, where he fights the Gorn. I forget the name of it now, but that's one of like that might be the most classic episode. One of them, at least.
Oh, it definitely.
Yeah.
Trouble with Tribbles.
And of course,
Spacey.
Federation.
You remember the William Shatner Gorn Hotel commercial they did?
Yes.
That's not. That
was
good.
I thought that was. Yes. Yes. I thought that
was
hilarious.
It was Expedia commercial, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He just Priceline. Not Expedia, Bill Shatner.
Oh, no, no. You're right. You're
right.
Yeah. Priceline.
Priceline. He made a
bank off of
Priceline. Yeah.
He's made like buku bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Good for him.
Yes.
Good for Will Shatner.
What do you want to talk about? Comics coming out this week?
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel number one.
Yes, Captain Marvel looks good.
We're seeing a lot of really strong appearances by female-centered books now.
Yeah.
Black Widow's awesome.
Black
Widow's
awesome. Committed effort to diversify.
Yeah. Well, like Ms. Marvel came out a few weeks ago. I think probably the next issue is probably
next
week.
I think so.
That was really awesome.
Really awesome.
I didn't read it.
I liked it a lot. It was
if you don't read it in the issues, you should probably at least pick it up in trade or something.
Okay,
it's been it was a really strong premiere.
Nice. And that's a female.
Yeah.
Muslim character.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a female Muslim writer.
Yes.
We're seeing diversity not only in the characters, but in the creative team.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't she supposed to be from Pakistan or something? Mm-hmm. And it's like the first time Marvel's had a character from Pakistan or something.
Well, she's not actually from Pakistan. No. Her parents
are. She's American. Oh,
okay. Yeah, she was born in New Jersey, but that's like what the whole book centers around.
So
it's like,
she's not Pakistani. She's not just. She's from New Jersey.
She at one point says like it correctly. I'm from New Jersey, but people still treat me like I'm an outsider.
Yeah. Like she grew up in New Jersey, she's an American citizen.
It's a great opportunity for Marvel to do what they've always done.
The politically correct racist people.
Yes.
Like, she has a friend who's always politically correct, but is pretty much an awful racist person. Yeah.
Very awesome.
And I was like, I know that person.
Yeah.
Because they try to be cool with me all the time because I'm Hispanic. But at the same time, dude, I'm American, not Cuban.
Don't talk about Larry. He's sitting right here.
Well, the racist white guy, we have a list we have to check off. Of every color. And then we get a card that says, I can say I'm not a racist.
Yeah. The next time someone asks me what the library is in Spanish, so I'm going to shoot him in the toes. Like, donde a biblioteca?
You wish me a happy birthday.
I always wish happy birthday in Spanish, because I didn't know what happy birthday was for a long time. Feliz cumpleaños. Dang, my bad.
High school Spanish, man, must have really sunk in. I hadn't forgotten most of that. Yeah. I'm really good.
Feliz cumpleaños.
I'm good.
Belated Feliz cumpleaños.
But what else is coming out? So Justice League's coming out, Forever Evil. I'm almost done with Forever Evil. It's a great event, but I'm ready for it to be done.
Avengers Undercover.
Yeah, Avengers Arena. Go for it. Dennis Hopeless.
I want to give a little shout out. Dennis Hopeless was kind of the dark horse of Marvel now.
Still is.
Had nothing really big. He had never put his name on something.
Cable and X-Force was canned.
It was canned.
So he's
not. It was funny though.
It was good as
far as it was good humor and no Cable for Cable and the X-Force.
It's always nice to see like the kind of a slightly out of sync with the mainstream line guys come out. Like Jeff Parker on Thunderbolt.
Yes.
That was a brilliant run that he put together.
Yeah,
but he wanted to write Runaways. Marvel didn't give it to him.
Bastards.
He took, and
it's a hard for
Runaways.
He got half of the Runaways. He got half of Avengers Academy.
Yeah.
And he got to make up some characters, and he put them in a battle royale comic book. Like,
if you haven't seen Battle Royale, it's available on Netflix. It's dubbed, but you don't even have to read the words. Just watch it. It's awesome.
For those,
It's
Hunger Games,
but
kids.
Way better.
Similar to Hunger Games.
And he makes fun of Hunger Games and Battle Royale, and that arcade got all these teenagers together. He's like, I watched some movies and read some teen books, and this is what
some of the covers are direct ripoffs from Battle Royale and Hunger Games.
Yeah, but and Hunger Games is like a very stonewashed.
But and here's the thing,
Battle Royale. I mean,
it's more like Battle Royale, where when a character dies, he'll go through their story.
You
get to understand the character better.
Yes. Defending Hunger Games a little bit, it's less about shock value, I'd say, than Battle Royale is.
No,
definitely character development.
Battle Royale, definitely. The story is basically, kids to kill them.
Exactly.
Hunger Games, there is, at least in the book,
well, not to flip the script and defend Battle Royale a little bit, it does have, like, a pertinent social commentary to me.
Exactly, and there's great relationships.
About, especially if, like, you look at things like the Japanese education system, like, the way it's, like, extremely cutthroat.
Slice
people open.
Yes.
Every death in Battle Royale felt like somebody lost.
Yes.
That is not what I got. Three deaths in Hunger Games, I felt like really.
Have
affected.
You seen the second one?
Really,
yes.
The movie.
I hated the first one. I love
doesn't
the second one.
Do a good job of getting the backstory.
Yeah,
as opposed to books, you got
that
feeling.
Yeah, for that's all.
That's
all.
Exactly.
But,
so you miss that.
Agreed.
And they did a better job with the second one.
Yes,
the Hunger Games movie.
Yes,
it was awesome. I hated the first
fire,
Hunger Games.
Definitely, you feel a little more of the political intrigue.
Yeah,
right. A little more. Reason behind it.
Yeah.
So. But going back to my
Avengers
original
Undercover.
Thing, Avengers Undercover is his sequel to Avengers Arena, which was a ton of fun.
Yes.
If you didn't read it, it's in three trades. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it. Kev Walker's art does everything justice.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward. It's the same creative team taking what is left of the living characters and literally having them go behind enemy lines and working with Baron Zemo.
Which is awesome to see him back
which is
in the
awesome
Marvel
to see him.
Book. Yeah.
I
haven't seen him since
with,
Civil War.
Some of them are
going to
be with Arcade again.
He's been popping up here and there.
Oh, really?
Like, he was there around,
I haven't read
like,
him steady since then.
He made some appearances in Captain America.
Yeah.
He popped up just before Fear Itself, I think.
Yeah.
It was
weird. But this is going to be them working with Baron Zemo undercover. And some of them apparently might not even go back. They just might stay with Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
And Hellstorm is supposed to appear in the comics.
Nice.
I think it's going to be a ton of fun. Because it's going to be an interesting book. Avengers Academy was a ton of fun.
It's going to be an interesting book.
Yeah. So...
I'm picking up Kelly Sue DeConnick's Captain Marvel number one. Taylor was talking about that. If you missed out on
the last Captain Marvel
that Kelly Sue DeConnick was writing,
this is
don't miss this one. No. It's promises to be equally spectacular. And with Captain Marvel moving over to the Guardians of the Galaxy once the trial of Jean Grey is over,
it's going
to
be awesome.
Who knows? Who knows? We could see the next big character come out of Marvel, and who very well could jump right into the movies. Very easily.
Especially them doing a Guardians movie.
They seem to be going a big cosmic angle. Not this next Avengers, perhaps, but in the one. Whenever they get around to Thanos, it's obviously they're going to be bringing the cosmic universe.
And Captain Marvel works perfectly in that context.
They should still do Eros. I'm just saying, I just wrote an article about Star Fox, a very forgotten Avenger.
On Outright Geekery.
And I forgot how awesome he was and how great his plot was.
I was never big on Star Fox.
He's Thanos' brother. Yeah. He's the exact opposite. He's all about life, and Thanos is about death.
The best part of the
exposure to Star Fox was that issue of the Hulk where he's like mindless and he's rampaging through New York. And he's just beating the piss out of everyone he fights until he gets to Thor. And just like Star Fox is like, hey, happy, happy, happy. And Hulk just like, that's like my whole exposure to him.
My whole exposure to him was I read Captain Marvel in the 90s when Janis Bell was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear Star Fox, I immediately think of the video game.
Well, Jules even says that in the article. This is way before the video game.
That's one of the things where, like, the first one wasn't the most famous. Okay, like, the Terminator.
Yes,
the original Terminator was Deathstroke.
Yes.
But then the movie came out, Terminator, and everyone...
and ruined it.
That's what everyone associates it with.
Yes.
Oh, and fucking Avatar. The brilliant Avatar... doesn't get to call himself Avatar, but all you have to be like, oh, I made the Airbender one instead of the fucking James Cameron movie.
And the movie doesn't help that. The movie doesn't help that. The poor quality of the Airbender movie does not help that.
There's nothing but doing a disservice.
Yes. Never happened. Let's not talk about
it.
Yeah. Another book. What are you looking forward to Captain Marvel, mostly? Black Widow this week comes out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It's a make or break it for Captain, or for Black Widow for me.
Really?
Phil Noto's art is carrying the book.
I love
the stories have been good, but they've been single one shots up till now, and that's refreshing in
that.
A way.
I'm into that,
but I think Black Widow deserves to have a plot based arcs and things like that.
Plot hooks being left around.
I agree.
Like villains who are getting away and conspiracy and whatnot.
But it still doesn't feel like I'm in a congealed set of arcs, and I think Black Widow really deserves that. She's one of those top notch characters.
I think we'll get it there because
I think this issue's going to get
Punisher,
it there.
And it's a ton of fun.
Awesome.
And I hate the Punisher. So anyone who can make me I give credit to anyone who can make me like a character I don't like.
Awesome.
I'm on his
I like Punisher and I'm not getting that book.
And I hated the character. I think he sucks. I think he's better as a villain, honestly.
What do we think about all these Marvel characters sort of moving from the East Coast to the West Coast? Daredevil.
It's good. How many heroes does New York need?
I know, but I mean, do we think it's being forced? Do we think they're doing
that? That's the other thing.
Yeah, Punisher, I think, does work better in LA.
It's a wonder why any supervillain even attempts anything
in
New
York.
Boom!
99% of the superhero population lives in New York.
Yeah, there's two buildings that are named after superheroes. Tall skyscrapers named after superhero teams. Not the best place to pull off the big crime.
How do they even have, like, far enough away from both the Avengers Tower and the Astor Building?
Yeah.
So, that was the point they made in Bendis' Moon Knight was... he was the only hero in L.A.
Yeah.
It was so much easier for him to function and be crazy
because
no one could call him out. And he had one supervillain. And he was like, wow, where are the supervillains? How is no one tapping into this market?
That's awesome.
I mean, the kingpin in the L.A. was Count Nefario. Yeah.
The supervillains in L.A. all work in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They don't have to be doing anything illegal. They could just
that's where Mysterio's been this whole time.
They can just work in the biz.
One of my favorite issues, because Nova's out near the West Coast, was...
He thinks
he's stopping a villain and they're shooting a movie.
Yeah.
Like, well,
he's like in New Mexico or something, right?
Yeah, and he runs into Joss Whedon and he's like, yeah, I'm filming a movie. What are you doing?
Wait, Joss Whedon is now a Marvel character? No, that's weird, dude.
Oh, come on.
That's weird.
But yes, but
that's
I thought it was hilarious.
That's a Whedonverse crossover. <That's really
laughs> Oh, wait, now we get Firefly in the Marvel Universe? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I could, a little full circle.
That's the real Guardians.
You guys ever, there was an issue of Superman one time where Neil deGrasse Tyson had a cameo.
Where Mike Tyson?
Neil deGrasse Supercross type.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Well, like, Superman, like, is going to a planetarium to watch the explosion of Krypton, because that's how long it took the light from the explosion to reach Earth, so he can actually watch it
happen.
Yes.
Neil deGrasse Tyson explained the science of it to some idiot intern.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So that's a DC book, though. Right. So we'd have to have amalgam.
Yeah,
to have
Superman was in it, so yeah, no
but
shit.
But we'd have to have the amalgam for Neil deGrasse Tyson to be a Marvel character. But maybe we'd have scientist versus scientist. We need Bill Nye to be a Marvel character. And then that's amalgam.
I'm sorry, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he does stuff. He talks about Thor a lot, too.
Basically, yeah, because of the hammer. Well, if it was made from the core of a star, it just might be that heavy. Yeah, it's super fucking heavy. It's awesome.
Good stuff.
Go ahead, Larry. You were going to speak.
Yeah, I was going to just rant a little on the subject of this video I saw put out by Kevin Smith.
It was probably
the most horrible video
podcast.
And it was essentially a kind of a ripoff of Weekly Rex.
Check that out on YouTube.
A horrible version. And he had all this budget, and it just kind of insulted the viewer's intelligence.
And it's not that Kevin Smith doesn't do some, I mean, Smodcast, Batman on Batman.
Better stuff from him.
Tell him Steve Dave.
Yeah, tell him Steve Dave.
And it wasn't good.
It was not good. It was really uninformative.
There was some girl named Ashley...
Ashley Green,
just ranting about... What other people thought about comics, pretty much.
And it was terrible.
Right,
it was
like
cheesy.
She made all kinds of references that didn't fit the comics.
No. Yeah. At one point, show a picture of an old She-Hulk issue instead of the last week's She-Hulk number two.
Yeah.
She makes a high evolutionary joke about them smoking weed. It had nothing to do with
the New Warriors.
Yeah. And high evolutionary is like a small bit of that issue.
Yeah.
It was completely just did everything.
I'm a big fan of anything that pushes forward comic books, you know, and helps promote them.
But
this doesn't.
It took us a step back.
I think so, too.
It felt like we were going back a couple pegs as far as comic book readers.
We're ranting for Larry. Yeah. We're saying everything he's thinking.
I mean, that is.
He's projecting himself into you.
That's Larry's.
My whole point was, I think this video was so bad that anybody that sees it is going to think less of comic book people.
Yes, it did us a huge disservice.
So don't watch it, people.
Please don't watch it. Yes. Please do not watch it.
Well, that's just like daring everybody to watch
it. I know.
Watch it and make fun of it.
Yeah, watch it. See how bad it is.
And that's the thing.
Kevin Smith's plan is falling together.
They turned off the comments because they
were
so
horrible. Classic Kevin Smith.
Yes, they turned off the comment. That's just to let you know how important the video
exactly.
is.
Yeah. Kevin Smith news, he's doing a Batman 66 Green Hornet crossover.
Yeah, and this here thing, it makes me not want to get anything Kevin Smith.
The last Batman comic that Kevin Smith wrote that I read
was
the
Onomatopoeia.
No, that was after this one. Okay, I'm talking about the one you're talking about where like there was some sort of serial killer who wants to kill
Onomatopoeia.
Oh yeah, Onomatopoeia. Yeah, that's the prequel to the one that he just. Why did Iron sequel?
Okay, well, it wasn't especially good.
Onomatopoeia.
Cacophony.
That's what it's called, yeah. The villain, I think, may have been Onomatopoeia.
Yes. The villain was Onomatopoeia.
And he was a great character, but the book was not very entertaining.
No.
I liked him as a character because he'd like say Russell as he's walking through bushes.
It was
you know, instead of like the comic writer putting Russell in there, he would say Russell. And he'd shoot people and go bang, bang, bang and say it.
Yeah.
And that was the whole shtick, you
Mostly
know,
the
onomatopoeia,
Joker
the poetry.
Really
the
really
suitcase full For of instance, money and the Joker drops his drawers.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
The Joker quote that come out of that was so awkward.
In cacophony.
Yeah. This is how I explained Kevin Smith's Joker was, I don't want to just kill Batman. I want to kill him and do dirty, awful things to his dead body.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then he was like, sexually.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to read this anymore.
But that does feel like
Kevin Smith's writing.
Something like a Kevin Smith character would say in a movie.
Yes.
That seems like something Randall would say.
They're doing a Clerks 3.
Yes.
After Krampus. He's doing Krampus first.
I thought he was... I thought
Krampus,
Clerks 3 was
Santa's
going to be his last
Krampus?
Hurrah.
Yes.
Okay.
I read an article where he said That he needs to do Krampus first because he can do Clerks anytime. He owns Clerks, but yes. Krampus, everybody owns that. It's public domain. He needs to do it before somebody else jumps on it. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Well, it's because it went to like this, really it went like this hockey movie that he wanted to do. That was going to be his last hurrah.
Yeah.
Clerks 3, now to Krampus?
Yes. Well, well, there's this one.
He's a shit talker.
Just like Red State was going to be the final film. Remember that? What happened
to that? And you know, Red State, I thought, was a great film. I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It did not feel like Kevin Smith, though.
No.
No, but no, but it was one of those things. I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't your traditional Kevin Smith movie.
No, not at all. Except for
when
John Goodman wakes up and the clock
comes on. Kevin Smith can't do traditional Kevin Smith movies anymore.
Can we just say that took me out of the entire film for a second? I'm like watching this intense film.
Yeah.
And then the 3:12 a.m. in the Clerks font comes on. I'm like, all right, Kevin Smith did this movie. Yeah. And John Goodman gets introduced. I was like, what just happened in this movie really fast?
Go ahead, Larry. What?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's the one thing every time someone brings up Red State, I talk about the one scene that reminds you it's a Kevin Smith movie was the Clerks font clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's like at 3:12 a.m. Really? Really, Kevin? You wanted to throw that one in there just for giggles?
Right. Well, a lot of people don't. There's two endings to that movie.
Yeah, Red State.
Yes. He wrote two endings. One where the $20 million worth of special effects, where the crazy people were right.
All right.
And Armageddon happens.
Okay.
And then the other one. Yeah.
Where it was just. And just some hippies playing horns on the freaking loudspeaker.
And well, shit. Spoiler alert.
That movie came out like 5 years ago.
Yeah, watch it. Yeah. It's still not spoiled. It's a good ride to get there to the end.
It's definitely a good movie. He was supposed to do something like a seal in a basement or some weird. He had some other weird project movie he was working on.
The last article I read, he wanted to do Clerks 3, but he had to put it off because of Krampus.
And
it didn't make any sense to me. But hey, maybe there's some Krampus fans out there who
really just wanted that Krampus movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I want Dogma too.
Dogma 2.
The New Testament.
No, that's why you gotta go there, man.
I love that movie. My favorite
that's
Kevin
a great
Smith
movie, but
love it.
Just, it was good on its own.
Yes,
did not need anymore.
Well, one thing that totally killed me about that movie is nobody gets the joke.
I was gonna say
the fact that Alanis Morissette's voice kills people.
Yeah.
It's
ironic.
Yeah, it is.
Ask Brian Riddle.
Oh, that's a jagged little really pill.
Heyo,
heyo.
Puns for days. But.
We need like an Ed McMahon button. We're like,
heyo,
heyo.
Okay, we need two Ed McMahon.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, we need three Ed McMahon. We need heyo, him laughing.
Yes, you are.
Oh, that's awesome. But what do we want to wrap up on? Anything cool happen? Oh, CW has the Flash suit.
Yeah, the Flash suit.
The one thing I had to say about it was.
Well, it looks like the Flash.
It looks like the Flash. Great job, CW, on doing nothing at all and not screwing it up.
Okay, well, hey, congratulations. Say that sarcastically.
I know.
That's pretty high praise, actually.
You're absolutely
hey,
right.
Hey, they didn't fucking. Look at Quicksilver in the fucking Days of Future Past.
Look at freaking
Catwoman from the
Impulse
DC.
In the Smallville. He had a hoodie. Oh, because the hood wouldn't come off. I'm just saying, if you're running at super speeds, how does the hood not come off? Somebody explain to me
that's
how Impulse's hood stayed
on. It's always a wizard.
Stop thinking about it. You're thinking too hard.
I'm just saying, if somebody running at super speed, the hood doesn't come off?
It's about maybe an alien living at in Kansas. Super speed, grabbing his hoodie so fast.
You can't see it. Every once in a while, he just doesn't realize, you know? It's like pushing up your glasses. It's just habit now.
At slow speeds, my hood comes off all the freaking time off my head.
Oh, man. But yeah, I like it. It makes me a little more excited about it. The Gotham plot synopsis and, like, the logo kind of came out. It looks okay.
There's an image of what Ben Affleck's Batman looks like floating around.
I think that's fake.
I think
it looks really fake.
I don't
fake.
Believe anything like that when we're this far away from the movie.
Exactly.
They haven't even started shooting. I don't even know if they have a script yet.
I've heard they have a suit. Script.
Yeah.
But not a script or anything else. That's the only news I've heard.
That's another thing.
Even if that's the suit.
Yes,
even if that's a real picture, God knows how many times I could change it between then and now.
Yeah. Right. And it's going to look different under the lighting, especially Batman's colors, you know, blue, black. It's hard. It's a fine line.
It's a tough. It's
I'd be surprised if they had blue. I'm expecting black.
Well, dark blue, like that blue. I mean, I could see him. You know, yes,
for all
like
of
that.
You, they're pointing at a color.
Even Superman dark was blue. Like super dark blue. They gotta have Batman be black.
Then. Yeah, true. But I'm excited to see it. Some spoilers came out about the Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, the post-credit.
Oh my gosh! No spoilers.
I'm avoiding them like the plague.
Everybody, avoid them if you don't want to know.
The movie's this close.
But they are awesome.
I know.
They're gonna be so good.
Yeah, we're like 3 or 4 weeks away from it now.
Between
I'm gonna go see it.
Between that and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer that is supposed to premiere in front of that movie, I'm definitely
gonna go see it. On the merit, it looks awesome.
People have said though, it looks awesome. People have given it,
but that's
great
not what
you're.
The trailer looks cool. All the TV spots make it look really cool. And I would probably go see it even if I was just mildly interested in it.
Too.
But I'm super interested. I mean, it looks cool.
They just showed all these extended trailers for it too. By the time it gets to the theater, somebody's gonna piece it together.
Yeah.
My whole thing is, I read Ed Brubaker's.
Well, that's the thing. They're not particularly trying to hide the whole. It's actually Bucky thing.
What?
I mean, for one thing, can clearly see it's the same actor.
Of course.
If you bother to look.
Of course.
It's the
Fuzzy?
Same.
Yeah.
They're not really trying to play
that one
close to the chest.
Yeah.
I love, and I hate you, Ed Brubaker, because as a child, I wanted to bring Bucky back. And apparently he did too, and he got to do it before.
He got to do it.
Yeah, and he did a better job than you ever could have done.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
There were some holes in that. But it was great. I love the Winter Soldier. I love the arcs.
Well, he came up with the Winter Soldier. I was going to have
I actually
to be
loved,
the new Baron Zemo.
I actually loved
that's pretty
Winter
yeah,
Soldier
that's what
as
I
Captain
to
America
do.
For
yeah.
the 10 minutes he was.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Oh,
that was great.
His costume was way cooler.
It was great with the black.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, just on throwback, the weird little Kevin Smith movie I was talking about, Tusk.
Oh, I have heard of that.
And it's based on a post where a guy offered free rooming if the person who stayed there was willing to constantly dress like a walrus.
Oh, weird.
Weird.
And I looked it up on IMDb. It's in post-production.
Yeah.
$2 million budget. It's going to be another weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. Now, and of course, in real life, that was a prank, but
yes,
that's what inspired him. That and probably some green herbal
Classified,
substance.
Yeah. There's another movie coming out. I'm not sure if it's a documentary, but it's based on that Classified ad where the dude was looking for someone to time travel with.
That one's already out.
Oh, is it out?
Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah.
And it's a good movie.
I heard it was really good. That's the only reason I'm bringing
it
up. I haven't seen it yet, and I heard it was really good. Yeah, me too. That should be our first Outer Geekery movie night.
The funny part
we should
is
do that, yeah.
A
lot of stuff.
No.
There's one where he's growing horns.
No,
is in a horror movie there. He's growing horns. And I was like, what?
Daniel Radcliffe? He does some weird stuff.
Yeah. He's really trying
to he's definitely trying to break from the Harry Potter mold. Yeah.
He should just sit back, count his money, and
just wait till they
he's
do
like
remakes with Harry Potter
or something.
I don't care.
Because you know what?
If
it
I was in all the Harry Potter. If I was Harry Potter, I would not be found. I'd be in my island. I mean, my island. I mean, my island. And no one would ever talk to me again. My comics would be shipped from Helicopter Weekly.
He did some World War II or World War I drama.
But here's the thing. What's got to suck for Daniel Radcliffe is he sees Jennifer Lawrence doing these teen blockbusters and winning Oscars.
But Jennifer Lawrence wasn't like 8 when she started,
no,
you know?
But she was like, 12?
Still, though,
how old was she in Winter's Bone? Yeah.
Oh, she was.
You saw Winter's Bone.
Oh, yeah.
She was destined for Oscars.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you seen Winter's Bone?
I haven't seen it.
It's brilliant. It's like a redneck mafia, dude, it's just perfect. It's a perfect movie. It's great. She definitely.
I recall at the age of 12, she was going to get an Oscar nomination.
She was nominated for Winter's Bone. Yeah. That's what turned me on to her.
She was going to win, but they didn't give it to her because they didn't want to break the underage rule.
Man, I hate when fucking backroom politics keep people from getting awards.
We talked Oscars last week. Yeah. Let's not go there again.
Anyway.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts? No. Check out OutrightGeekery.com.
A lot of stuff coming on.
YouTube.com/WeeklyRex.
We're going to start comiccity2.com. Doing a movie night here soon where we review and do our own commentary tracks on movies.
Oh, and hopefully we will...
Let us know if there's any movies you want.
Yeah.
We're going to finally try to record some Pathfinder session tomorrow.
Yeah. Woohoo! So look for that.
See, the other one, when I cut it off early and let y'all talk about that, I was trying to put a little teaser out there.
Pathfinder, nice.
Because y'all started talking about that, I'm just going to let that record. Let that be a little teaser.
And then you got me just talking about my dad calling me, telling me my mother had a tattoo.
Sorry about that.
It backfired horribly.
But yeah, hopefully we do get that Pathfinder started tomorrow.
We should get it tomorrow. We need after we're done here, we'll hammer out some details. Yeah.
Sweet. But yeah, we're going to do like 2-3 hour sessions, you know, and then break them down into half hour recordings.
Come
and hopefully you guys enjoy.
Yeah, Comic City 2, Madison, Tennessee.
I'm gonna Maddie.
I'm going to be DMing that. I'll try to make it entertaining to listen to.
I'm definitely going to make it entertaining to listen to.
Oh, crap. Okay.
And Gomer will be playing a little cross-dressing dwarf that talks in a squeaky voice the whole time.
That's right.
Oh no!
Oh, that's gonna be fun.
Also, a special announcement.
I couldn't play with you, man.
David Hinson, our voice guy here.
Special announcement. My final thought: Gomer is going to be currently replacing me on Weekly Rex.
Not replacing.
Taking my place.
Taking his place.
So excited. Are you the Jules True or the ultimate Jules True?
I think I'm going with the irredeemable Gomer.
Oh,
that's so accurate on so many levels.
On lots of levels. Lots of levels.
Irredeemable Gomer. All right.
Woot, woot.
Well, like I said, any of the comics you've heard us talk about today are available here at Comic City 2. All opinions are expressed are the people expressing them, not of Comic City 2 or any of
us. I think Taylor shares my opinion.
We probably should.
We definitely have a bunch of great articles coming out on Outright Geekery. If there's anything you want to see out there, let us know. You can go to comiccity2.com and check out a weekly email of all the new comics coming out so you can get the information that we have.
There's also a lot of information about what's going on at the store.
Yes,
you definitely should get involved in that. Magic tournaments, weekly going on.
We always have something going on here at the store. You know, HeroClix, Star Trek Attack Wing, X-Wing. You know,
bring your checkbook.
Magic, D&D, Pathfinder. You name it, we do it.
All right. I think that's it.
That's it, guys. Next
Good
week.
Night, everybody.
That's a wrap.